Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, we're in chapter 5, and we begin our study today in verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 5, actually verse 15, we pick up right where we left off last time. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at the Ten Commandments, and we come to verse 15, which says, well, actually, let's go back and begin reading in verse 12. He says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. And then verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So why should the Israelites give a day of rest to their servants, or we would say their employees, or anyone else? Because they were slaves in Egypt, and they worked like dogs with no rest ever. And so they need to remember those days, and how they long for rest, and they need to do unto others as they would have others do unto them. 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the promise to Israel, if they honor their parents, is a long life and happiness in the Holy Land, which was a great promise given specifically to them. That's not an unconditional promise of long life for Christians today, and an unconditional promise that we'll be able to stay in our house and keep our land. That's not what it refers to. But we can draw a principle out of it for us today, and the general principle is that our life will be a good one. Life would be much more pleasant if everyone submitted to the legitimate authorities in their life, beginning with their parents when they're young. 17. You shall not murder. And this is a good translation. The older translation sometimes translated, thou shalt not kill. Murder is much more precise. This doesn't mean that you can't kill anything. It's all right to kill animals for food or sport or to protect yourself. But it is a sin to commit murder. To murder men, women, and children of any age. And so this does not prohibit all killing. This doesn't prohibit a just war or capital punishment. It prohibits murder. 18. You shall not commit adultery. In other words, do not have physical relations with another person's husband or wife. That is sin. 19. You shall not steal. Don't take another person's property, whether by force or by fraud. You know, some people wouldn't go into a store and steal a suit of clothes, but they are guilty of stealing through fraud, misrepresenting themselves in some way. Some of these athletes, I'm thinking of one in particular that I will not mention, who pumped himself full of steroids in college and became an all-star football player, and then was a number one draft pick for the Green Bay Packers, and they paid him a hefty salary. Well, when he got to camp, he was a big bust because all he had done was pump himself full of steroids. That is fraud. That is stealing. 20. You shall not give false testimony to your neighbor. Now, this law against false testimony is a law against lying. It includes lying on the witness stand about someone or something, and it also includes whispering and half-truths and insinuations about someone behind their back. That's wrong, too. 21. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God's law doesn't just prohibit outward acts of sin. It prohibits the inward first steps to sin, which occur in our minds when we start craving things that we don't have, or start craving things that don't belong to us, or imagining with pleasure how great it would be if we had what belonged to someone else. That's the sin of covetousness. It is a sin of the mind. It's not something that is seen, but yet it is still sin. It is one of those attitude sins. 22. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly, there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud and the deep darkness, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. There were about 2.5 million Israelites spread out from the foot of Mount Sinai, and yet they all heard God speak those Ten Commandments out loud. That never happened with any other part of the 31,000 plus verses of Scripture when they were given. And so we see that the Ten Commandments are a very special part of Holy Revelation. It is a shame that they are not honored in this land, the United States of America, as they once were. They are special. They are a very special part of Holy Revelation. And God treated them in a special way. You can't find any other scriptures that when they were given directly by God's voice, that many people heard them with such pomp and ceremony, as we will see in verse 24. It says, "And you said, 'The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire.'" Excuse me. "Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him." So, as I mentioned, the Ten Commandments were given audibly by God with all the pomp and ceremony that anyone could possibly imagine. It really showcased the majesty of God. You had lightning, you had thunder, you had smoke coming from the mountain, you had earthquakes. I mean, it was something. It was quite a production that God put on. And the people were glad, and I think relieved, just to be alive after experiencing it. 25. "But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer." In other words, they didn't want to push their luck. They survived hearing the holy voice of God give the Ten Commandments, but they were not sure they could handle any more of the audible voice of God giving any more of his law. Verse 26, "For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived?" No one but Israel had ever heard God's voice come from a regular fire and lived to talk about it. Now, Moses heard God speak from the burning bush, but that was a little different because the bush wasn't consumed. It wasn't what you would call normal fire. There was something miraculous about that. And now that may seem like I'm splitting hairs, but this is God's word, and it is so precise that we must split hairs to be accurate. Every little shade of meaning to every word of Scripture is important. 27. "Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey." And so the people, they really did want to hear all the word of God. They wanted to hear it, but they just didn't want to hear God speak it directly himself. They wanted Moses as a go-between. 28, "The Lord heard you when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. God was pleased with the holy fear that the congregation of Israel had. And he was pleased with their deep respect for him as well. 29. Oh, that their hearts, God says, would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. The fear of God, which leads to obeying his commands, results in what is good for man, as well as what is honoring to God. See, God loves to bless and make our days full of good things, so he longs for us to keep ourselves in the place of blessing through our obedience to him. And that's why he's saying, oh, I just, you know, they have a heart for me right now, and they fear me right now, and they respect me right now. Oh, if that would just continue on, is what God is saying. If it would just continue. 30. Go tell them to return to their tents. That's what God said to the Israelites. Remember, they had asked to be excused from hearing God himself speak the rest of the law. And the Lord graciously agreed. He told Moses to send the people back to their homes, back to their tents. 31. But you stay here with me. This is God talking to Moses. So that I may give you all the commandments, decrees, and laws you are to teach them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess. So Moses, as the leader, needed to spend more time with God. He couldn't, you know, unlike the others, Moses could not return to his tent. He had to stay on that mountain with God and get the rest of God's word directly from the Lord himself so that he could then teach that word to the others. And we can bring a principle down to today from this, and that is that a teacher, a Bible teacher, a minister, he ought to spend more time with God than other people spend with God, so that he can give them God's word when they all meet together. See, it's no different. 32. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Every sin involves straying from the course God has set for us. So God says, do not turn to the right or to the left. In other words, be strict on yourself. Do not tolerate moving away from God's holy word in even the slightest of ways. 33. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you possess. And there it is again. God says, obey me, so that it may go well with you. God's commands are designed to enhance life, not diminish it. We pick it up in chapter 6, verse 1 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.